I said a bang, bang, bangity bang. I said a bang, bang, bangity bang.
A bang, bang, bang.
Oh, I love that episode.
Oh, so good. Hello and welcome to The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors. I am your host, Pat.
And I am Cliff.
Cliff, for the listening audience, can you please describe what action you are performing?
I am pouring out a beer that I brewed myself and bottled a little over 2 weeks ago. And I'm about to drink one of them.
Yes, this is great continuity for the podcast because we talked about your brew in the brewing last week or last episode. Let's see.
And so, well, no one else will be able to see this, but it looks like beer, doesn't it?
That is a color I would refer to as beer yellow. Ooh, yes.
And it's got a head of bubbles on top. It's pretty decent.
Everyone loves a good bit of head.
It smells like beer so far. What I'm worried about is the immediate, like, green apple taste that I'm probably going to get. Because it takes a while for that to subside. You go. Let's have a crack. That's actually good. There's not a lot of green apple taste there.
That's well done.
Yeah. There's a little bit there of an aftertaste, but it's pretty good. So I'm going to be drinking this while we record.
Fantastic.
This bit, I put my blood, sweat, and tears in this. Yeah.
But not enough apples.
Well, I mean, the yeast just makes the apple taste anyway.
Mm.
And then the yeast has to then... Anyway, let's not get into the specifics of homebrew. This is not a homebrew podcast. This is a nerd podcast.
Yes, thank you for tuning in to our podcast within a podcast about beer brewing. Brewski broskies.
Mm.
But now back to the indoorsman. Yeah. Hello, Cliff.
Hello.
It has been a time.
Yeah.
Things have occurred. Games have been played.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say games. I'd say game has been played a lot.
Fair. That's a fair call.
Yeah.
You know, just going to go out on a limb here. Cliff, what game have you been playing?
I've been playing that shit out of Red Dead Redemption 2. And I'm not even near finished.
Yeah, no. I also have been playing this video game. Not as much as you. Like, I've found myself easily losing focus in it and switching over to other stuff, but I've put a decent chunk of time in at this point, I think.
Yeah, I mean, like, the game is expansive. Now, I want to get my usual Cliff, let's say, optimism, an optimistic side out of the way, and say, this game controls like a Rockstar game, and that fucking sucks. Now, that aside, excellent game. Excellent, excellent game.
Yeah, the controls are definitely a thing I have trouble with. Just, like, overlapping inputs through, for me, the triangle button to sort of interact with things or hold to do other things. It's just lot laid on one button.
You have to, in order to basically manage your inventory without going into your satchel and stuff like that, you have to basically use all your fingers at once to do stuff.
Yeah.
It's a bit clunky. I mean, there's a lot to control in your character. Like, you got to choose a weapon, and you bring up your weapon wheel, and you choose the weapon in that slot, and then you choose what ammo you want. I'm running out of fingers, and I constantly pick the wrong shit, because my fingers just won't do the thing that I need it to do, because I'm just concentrating on too many things at once.
There's a couple of stealth mission type sections where I've had to, take an enemy out quietly to minimize the battle, where I've just hit the, shoot gun button instead of the grapple.
Have you ever actually done a stealth sequence properly stealth the whole way through?
In this game or in my entire gaming career?
In this game.
I think I had one, the tutorial-y one where I managed to get through it safely.
So the tutorial one was the first base you kind of hit when you're up in the snow, yeah?
Mm.
Yeah. So, and they give you the throwing knives. And they're like, here, use a throwing knife.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
To take out this guy, because he's taking a piss behind a tree.
Mm.
I did the throwing knife thing. I threw a throwing knife. Immediately, the other two guys noticed and started shooting at me. I hate the snow sequence at the start for it anyway, because it's drawn out and it's annoying. But, like, if you're going to give me a tutorial about how to stealth kill, don't break the stealth mechanic in the tutorial mission that tells me how to stealth. I mean,
Apart from that, object lesson is great in game tutorials, but that's just not.
Yeah, guns blazing. I've got crazy guns. So
I've gotten some decent guns. The shooting I'm mostly fine with.
Shooting's fine. I had no problem with it.
Yeah, Deadeye is still fun and easy to use. I quite enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the traversal controls I find a little... ugh. For one thing, the fact that the toggleable option that's buried in the options menu to switch between having to hold down a button or tap a button to switch into like sprinting mode, it should not be on hold by default. It is... it's like stress on your fingers. It's a bad choice. And I don't know why they did it. Also, I hate having to, like, pump my horse to make it maintain full speed, where you sort of have to keep the rhythm with its footfalls, because it's hard to tell exactly whether you're doing it right.
I don't know when I'm doing it right.
Yeah, exactly. There's no indication that it's
It needs, good. Like, a little, like, visual cue, where it's like a something. Concentric circle or something like that, where it's just, like, almost like a rhythm game, where it's like, this is when you're actually on, because I don't know if I'm on or not.
Exactly. Like something that they do with the cores is they kind of flash red around them if they're being used, which is helpful. But when you're sprinting, it's just flashing nondescriptly. If it was flashing green for, you're doing it, and red for,
If it went green, I would know that I'm doing it right. And then I would know what I'm kind of aiming for. But I don't know how it works, because I don't know when my horse is galloping. Like, am I supposed to time it with the footfall? But then there's like 3 footfalls or 4 in the cycle.
Yeah, they never really give you like a proper tutorial on how to, even just like a first time being told.
Yeah.
Because I found that like if I'm tapping it and sort of focusing on the core indicator and seeing that it's not going down, I'm like, okay, cool. That's the like momentum I need to maintain with my hand. So I stop focusing on that and just keep running, look down like 2 seconds later and it's like, oh, half of my stamina has burned away because I stopped doing it right somehow.
Yeah, it needs a bit more of a visual indicator. This game it's good and bad in that it doesn't hold your hand once it unlocks the world. It's like, here's a world. But it doesn't hold your hand in the places you need to be have your hand held. Like when the first time you do literally anything in the game. The first time you do it in the game, it should stop, pause the game. This is how it works.
Yeah, see, it's a common thing in game design to, especially in open world games, to have like a very linear world at first till they get you through learning how to do traversal or combat or whatever else. But usually they do that while kind of simulating that you're part of the big world. Like, I don't think Spider-Man did it specifically, but they might confine you to a city block in terms of where you need to go and then expand out from there. Whereas this kind of just says, here you're in the middle of nowhere, you have no illusion that you have choice in this. You are just stuck trudging for a few hours until you get to Sunnytown.
Yeah. So the start is not great. It's clunky like a Rockstar game. That said, it bugs me less that it's clunky in this game than it does in GTA. Because in GTA, there's a lot of stuff you got to do that is very specific to like how you move around. Like, the shooting and stuff like that is more intense in GTA. So you want to be able to move quicker, and clear and solve this. In this game, gun fights are a bit more drawn out. So you don't need to be as, like, twitch smooth.
Yeah.
But it's still, like, annoying when it's like, okay, cool, I need to step over that log. Okay, Arthur, step over the log. No, don't just stand there. I'm pressing the jump button now. Why aren't you, like, jumping over the log? Oh, if I take one step left... and then step over, it just walks through the log. Like, what the fuck is happening right now?
I've had a couple like that with just weird visual glitches, which are always, like, a pleasure to see. I think I saw someone clip through another person in the middle of a cutscene, something like that.
I've had arms bend backwards at the elbow in weird directions. Yeah. It's pretty funny.
Like, did the twitch. Although I have heard that, at least for consoles, one of the reasons that the gameplay feels a bit sluggish is that the response time for sort of key presses is dramatically lower.
Input lag is upwards of getting close to like, you know, depending on your frame rate, up to like a third of a second.
Yeah, which in the grand scheme of things, not much. But in terms of sort of that like tactical, haptic feedback, is that the word? For sort of direct response to your actions? I don't know. It doesn't feel right because it takes too long.
yeah, it's a bit,
basically what I'm getting
at. It's a bit off, and you can notice it when you need it to do something. You can tell it's off.
Yeah, Digital Foundry or someone who does that kind of stuff did a comparative analysis with, I think, Assassin's Creed, Odyssey, and another recent open world game, Spider-Man maybe. And it was like, Red Dead was not doing good on responsiveness.
No, it was the worst, I think, on that thing that I saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like that. It's annoying that the controls, especially when you're on horseback and you just like plow into people that like leap in front of you last second or going around a corner. Yeah. I hate like Saint-Denis for that. Like it's just getting around Saint-Denis, the big city.
Yeah.
If you've been there, is annoying because you just like there's constantly people. You go around a corner, you get like, you, or you shove through someone and you get wanted because you shove someone in the middle of a fucking mission, and then you, the cops start shooting at you immediately because for some reason they can't. They're GTA cops.
Yeah.
They're Rockstar cops, so they don't, no matter what you do, they'll just shoot you dead straight away, and then there'll be 20 of them on you.
For bumping someone in the street.
Yeah. Yep. And running off because you're in the middle of a mission trying to chase some kid who just stole all your money. Yeah, so that type of stuff's annoying. But when you're out in the open world, just like cruising around on your horse, I fucking love it. I don't even notice the controls really badly at that point.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Also, it's really fun to just like drive by, assassinate random woodland creatures by running over them.
Yep. So many squirrels and rabbits have been trampled to death.
Yeah, I'm never going to get any perfect pelts to do any of the upgrades because I just don't have the patience.
I need one cougar pelt, perfect cougar pelt, and I've got all of the satchel upgrades.
You've definitely been playing more than me.
I've been hunting like a boss. Like I've been cruising around, like spending hours hunting.
I just don't have the patience for that stuff a lot of the time.
A varmint rifle will help you out a lot.
Yeah.
A varmint rifle with a scope will help you out tons. And a bow. Just a bow with improved arrows for anything big will take down basically everything except a bison in one shot.
I saw there was another thing, like a perk you can sort of work your way towards that gives you a bonus so that arrow shots anywhere on the body count the same as a headshot in terms of keeping the pelt good.
Yeah, so if you go and hunt the legendary buck, I think it is.
Yeah, that's then you take the talisman. Into
First of all, you take the pelt to the trapper, and then you take the legendary antler to a fence, and they'll make you the trinket that then does that for you.
Yeah, that's just a lot of work that I don't have the energy for.
I got that just before I got my panther one. But basically everything else was done without that.
Okay.
So I went hardcore with it. But I love it. Just running around. Some of the encounters are great. There's a few more missions that are entertaining. Not quite as entertaining, but still entertaining kind of in the way that the Lenny bar mission is. So I'm having a lot of fun with it. It's pretty good. That said, I don't fucking trust anyone in that game. They're all going to betray me. You're going to have to shoot them all dead. Even my bestest friends. Even poor Lenny.
Oh, Lenny. Yeah, I've really been enjoying it. The Stranger stuff is fun, the fact that it can spawn anywhere on the map. But also seeing people's like unique Stranger experiences are great. There was one little video I saw, which was someone... It's one of the ones where, a woman's being kidnapped and you have to sort of shoot the rider to save her.
Why not shoot both? Because you're an outlaw.
Exactly.
I better just shoot everyone in the end. I saved someone, untied them, and then they ran off, so I was going to kill them, so... I mean, self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. This was one of those, like, rescuing a damsel. He puts her down inside the road, and she's like, oh, thank you, sir. I feel safe at last. And then, like, a random horse runs past and just kills her.
Nice.
It's just like, in the middle of a cutscene. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool. I've had a few things like that happen. I was herding some cattle last night.
Yeah.
And I had to herd them towards these, like, you come across these, like, horse... I guess illegal horse sellers that will fence some horses for you, and I was herding some cattle towards them, and a train came past and the cattle just ran straight into the tracks, and the train just like took out like half the thing of cattle, and I had to restart the mission from like way back where I started herding them, and I was within like, I don't know, 150 metres of the end, and I'm like, you motherfucker.
Emergent gameplay, don't we love it?
I mean, like, yeah, open world is rife with this kind of stuff. It's just it happens when you, like, it never happens when you're kind of ready to go, like, oh yeah, this would be kind of fun, let's see what happens, like, whatever. It's always when you like you want everything to go, you need everything to go perfect, bang, that's when it hits you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Well, that's like 15 minutes about Red Dead, so shall we move on?
Is there anything else in Red Dead that I want to mention? It's great. It's definite contender for Game of the Year. I fucking love it. It's up there with Spidey.
I think it's one I'm going to marathon instead of sprint. Yeah. So it's going
to
take me a while.
I spent so much time doing Stranger missions and off to the side missions and stuff that I've got all story basically. So I'm just playing through story.
Okay, cool. So that's pretty much all you've been playing for the past week and doing.
Yeah, that's basically it. Hitman 2 coming out today, so I need to free up some hard drive space and I'll play that at some point. But nice. Red Dead 2 is the definite, I guess, number one right now to finish.
Well, I have been splitting my focus because I can't focus on any game for too long, even Red Dead.
Mm-hmm.
So there was like one of the usual PSN sales recently. They just randomly discount games for whatever reason. And they finally dropped the price on an indie-ish title that I've been wanting to check out. So I had it on my wish list. But mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want to spend, you know, $40 or whatever they're asking for it. So it dropped to $7. And I said, yes, please. And I played Valley, which was... like kind of a traversal exploration-y game with sort of kind of some combat, where you get a mechanized suit with like bouncy legs and it lets you kind of jump really far and all this kind of stuff, and has environmental magic-y parts, and you go around collecting notes and audio diaries and all that kind of stuff. It was actually pretty fun. I enjoyed exploring it. I didn't clear it entirely, but if you're looking for a little kind of short bite game, I reckon it took me under 8 hours to finish. This one's a pretty good one.
Having a quick look at it. It looks like, how did I not know about this?
Yeah, it's cool. You have sort of the mechanized suit lets you run, jump, good, all that kind of stuff. But you also have an environmental power thing where you can suck life out of one thing and put it in another. So you might have to revive trees to improve the environment, or revive an animal, or blast life energy at these evil bug things so they stop trying to kill you. You can kind of affect the world in a low level.
Interesting.
The coolest thing is the leaf suit is tied to nature. So you have...
Like a name quantum... like leaf? I don't believe you.
Yeah, right. You have this quantum death thing. It's basically their way of restarting you if you die. But each time you get revived that way... The in-game lore is that it does it by pulling life from the sort of area around you. So you usually find dead trees and dead animals. But it also degrades the overall health of the forest. And if the forest goes completely to shit, that's game over. So it's kind of their way of doing lives.
That's a cool way of doing it, actually.
Yeah. But you can kind of recharge your life count, basically, by pulling this life energy and blasting it into trees and animals to kind of revitalize the environment. So it's kind of a fun little loop.
I feel like that it's making me go like, wait, hold on a second. If you're pulling life energy from someplace and putting it somewhere else,
there's this kind of ambient life font.
Right, I was going to say, because you can't, that's not how conservation of energy works. Yeah. Like you can't create or destroy it, you just change it and put it from one place to another.
Yeah, because I kind of skipped over that bit a little bit.
Yeah, like, yeah. All right, then that's cool if there's like just a general, like, here's like a ambient thing. You just, like temperature, you just take the temperature out of the room there for a little bit and put it over here. It's fine. Hmm. Just redistribute the ambientness.
Yeah. Hmm. So I played that. That was a nice sort of day of play. Also, my new housemate, I was sitting in my room doing me stuff, and then I heard sort of the sound of what he was playing through the wall. So I burst out of my room saying, Kingdom Hearts? Because it was the menu sounds from Kingdom Hearts, which are very distinctive. And I watched him play it a bit, and then the next day found myself going out to buy the Kingdom Hearts Remix Collection for PS4 because I desperately wanted to play some. And it was the one sort of chunk of it that I didn't own, or at least didn't bring with me to Melbourne. And I really wanted to play Birth by Sleep, so I played a bit of that. It's nice playing it in easy mode, not caring about unlocking the secret ending just so I can fucking blast through it. Because I never finish it on PSP. And then also, like two nights ago, Spyro came out, so I downloaded that and played a lot of it. Oh, it's so good.
I mean, they literally just, like, HD-ified the original game.
Like, more work has gone into it. Like, they didn't just upscale. They've, like...
Oh, no, I mean, like, they full, like, went over it, all of it, and made it all, like, nice and HD. And didn't fuck with it, like, with other certain other games that get remastered and fucked up.
I have no idea what the crash you're talking about.
It's other stupid games where they, like, half remake it. At the same time, you're like, just stop. I want the exact game, but in HD. Yeah. Give it to me.
Yeah, it feels so good to play. Like, they've redone the aesthetic of some of the levels entirely to make more sense. But the gameplay feels right. The world is bigger, but it feels good. And it looks so good. Like, the art is vibrant. I love it. And I'm going to play all three of those games very hard, because hopefully that means they'll make new Spyro games. Which I think was kind of the hope. Yeah, I think that was the hope with the Crash trilogy as well, to kind of restore interest in the franchise. Don't know if it worked for them.
What if they just, like, cross them over? Crash vs. Spyro, like AVP.
They kind of had crossed over in that they each had demos for each other in their games at one point. So they did those kind of nods. And I think there's a secret code you could put in the menu of one of the games that would unlock a demo of Crash. So they've kept the code, but it unlocks a trailer for the Crash trilogy or something like that. Which is just a nice little touch.
That's kind of cool, yeah.
So yeah, been playing the heck out of that, because the levels are all still very small for PS1 era, so they're easy to kind of like bust out really quickly, which is gratifying.
Well, when you go back and actually watch some of those old games, like, the levels are not long. The games are not long at all.
Because it's all the hardware could handle, and it's all we knew, so it seemed very impressive at the time. But yeah, that's pretty much all I've been playing.
Speaking of, like, buying games that you've wanted for a while, I haven't got it yet, but I managed to procure a version of Ash's Cricket on Xbox One for, like, $17. Which is good, considering that game goes for, like, $70 or $80 and has since launch. It's, like, never been on sale, so I managed to grab, like, one of the last copies I wanted to clear out from a store, because Big Bash is, Cricket's coming out. So, and it's Xbox One X Enhanced, too.
Nice.
Which is pretty cool, so I thought, $17, I'll get it, I'll play the shit out of it. And speaking of Enhanced, Xbox One X Enhanced games, because I now have one, the original Red Dead 360 version, backwards compatible, is also enhanced for Xbox One X.
That's kind of cool.
And it looks good.
I really want to go back and play Undead Nightmare. Did that get the same treatment?
The whole game, I think, is just like...
Oh, nice.
The res goes up to 4K. There's no HDR or anything like that in it. But at 4K res, like, it looks real nice. I'm surprised by how good it actually looks.
Yeah. It's nice when a game holds up to time like that, whereas... Mm. For instance, you look back at Spyro levels and they were some garbage.
Yeah. Admittedly, there's a bit of a time gap between Red Dead and Spyro. But,
A teeny tiny bit.
But yeah, like, it looks real nice and runs super smooth. So I think I'm going to, because I've never really finished Red Dead. Well, not never really. I never did finish Red Dead. And now that I kind of know where John Marston came from, and I'm assuming kind of more shit hits the fan, I think I want to actually go through and play it and just... Not so much do the side missions, but just do the main story to get the complete thing. So I think I might burst through that at some point.
Yeah, nice. It'd be nice to kind of go back and revisit it after playing basically the prequel to kind of review it, in my case, in that light. Because I'm sure there'll be some dramatic reveals in this sequel prequel that will colour the experience of the first game.
Plus, there's I know that there's a lot of characters show up in Red Dead or in Red Dead 2, and it's just I can't remember these names and stuff, so it'd be nice to go back and go like, oh shit, like, that's really quite big.
Other than Dutch, obviously, it's hard to remember any of them. I mean, I know that was kind of the thing, you were hunting down the remainders of the gang, so you definitely kill some of the people you're friends with at this stage,
which is why I 100% don't trust any of those jerks.
Yeah,
it's all gonna explode.
I think I remember Bill Williamson being one of the guys you had to take down, but it's been a while, so...
Yeah. So it'd be real good to go back.
Yeah.
And yeah, now that it's in 4K.
Yeah. Finally, a reason to unpack my Xbox. I almost did it the other night. It's been a year.
I mean, it will still be in, like, shitty 1080 or 720 or whatever the 360 did for you, but... Be sweet 4K for me.
I have an Xbox One, thank you.
No, but not a One X.
No, but shush. Ha, yeah. Also, I'll have to sit there and watch it. Software update for a year's worth of updates. I'm pretty sure the interface has been revolutionized twice in that time.
It's the same thing. They just make it a little bit easier in some places and worse in others.
Mm.
I want fucking advertising on my front dash.
Nope.
Get that shit out of here.
Yeah. I'd never got a handle of the Xbox One's interface, so... Yeah.
Just, I want the 360, the last 360 dash. I want literally just that.
Yeah,
it was so good. HD. Yeah, but in HD on the Xbox One, that's all I want. Because when loading up Red Dead 1, I noticed like it went back and went to sign in to like the old 360 dash because it goes into that style when it emulates or whatever. And yeah, I'm like, oh shit, I'm getting flashbacks, but it does not look good on my 4K TV.
Oh, God. All right, well, shall we move on to some news?
Yeah, let's.
Okay. Handful of stuff to look at this week. But I think the first one is your fleshy contribution.
Oh yeah, if you ever in your life, Matthew, thought, you know what, I need a bigger dick.
I've never needed to think that.
Well, I mean, you say that out loud, but come on, you've thought about it. Now, there's recently been a way to actually do this, albeit virtually, but all you had to do is just start the game again. And just restart the game, and your dick got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Okay.
And we're talking about the game Scum. So there was a patch. You could now be naked, set your dick size, and there was a bug where your dick got bigger every time you started the game.
Yeah.
What an amazing bug.
I found it really interesting, because I did read up a little bit about this, that you could, like within the normal confines of the game, extend your dick size at the cost of ability points. So your character might not be as smart or fast or whatever, but they'd have a real big chongus.
I was going to say, but boy, you're packing heat.
Yeah. Which, I would love to see the statistics on how many people went for the maximum possible length versus, like, playability. Because, like, that is some fragile masculinity nonsense.
I mean, there's that. But also, like, just the comedic factor, because dicks are funny. Like, let's face it, dicks are funny. Yeah.
I did see a little video of someone who'd been affected by this unfortunate mistake, and I think the footage was, you know, censored, but it's really easy to tell what's going on behind that pixelated patch. And I will say this, those are some energetic lengths that just bounce around all over the place.
I mean, I would love to have been in the meeting. Like, the manager calls me in, and they're like, okay, cool, we're gonna do this.
This is the dick physics meeting.
Yeah, and it's just like, okay, let's get some drinks in here, and we're gonna really like nut this out. And yeah, I chose my words carefully.
Yeah, nice.
And it's like, imagine just being that. It's like, how big do we want to make the maximum size? How small do we want to make the minimum size? Like, imagine just working that shit out. you can't try and make that a serious meeting. You just can't.
You can't.
No. It would be amazing.
I think I saw, like, so in Scum, let's get into some dick physics here, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. In Scum, they're basically treated as a solid object. It's just a cylinder that moves back and forth with sort of a weighted end, I guess, and a swivel point. But Conan Online, they made it more like a flexible snake. So if you are running, that thing was jiggling around just a little bit too loosely to be believable as anything but like an uninflated balloon.
So what you're saying is that Scum went a bit more muted in its physics. Yeah.
It's kind of the two extremes, like no flexibility to the unit versus too much. Which one looks weirder? And I honestly don't know the answer.
See, now that you've kind of said that with the Conan one, all I can think in my mind is like those like hilarious and fucked up and weird like Gmod videos where they just set physics to like go crazy. That I'm just picturing that, but with a wang.
Well, picture this, like if a Conan character was jumping up and down on a trampoline, the shape it would be forming is basically a sound waveform.
I mean, you got to have a fairly decent amount of wang for that to be able to work too.
Yeah. Upsetting. Anyway, that's enough dick talk, I think.
Otherwise, we're gonna crack up laughing. We're gonna get derailed, and yeah.
Okay, this one's not the best transition possible.
Oh, don't do it. Don't transition. Not that. Something else. No. Don't transition from that.
Okay, how about we talk about the fact that Nailed It is getting a Christmas special, and I'm very excited about it.
Better segue.
Okay. Nintendo. Netflix is doing a couple of Christmas specials for their original series. So Nailed It is getting a Christmas episode. Interestingly, so is The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. I want to see what their take on like a dark Christmas witch tale is. I'm very excited. And a couple of others that I don't remember and don't care about.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But more Nailed It, more Sabrina, I'm down for it. And I think they come out like the day after my birthday. So happy birthday to me.
Yay.
Yeah. Other new media announcements. We had a couple of interesting trailers this week.
Mm-hmm.
Working backwards in terms of recentness, Toy Story 4 got its first teasers.
Mm-hmm. I haven't watched it yet. I've heard it's just kind of a jumble. Like, it's not really much yet.
Yeah. They don't really give much hint as to what the story is going to be about, but you do get to see pretty sort of 2018, 2019 rendered versions of beloved characters with ever more detail. Although that is a weirdly capped range when you're making toys that are meant to look fake in the first place. Toy Story 4, it's a thing that's happening. I'm into it.
I mean, it's not really a thing that I guess everyone asked for. Like, Toy Story 3 kind of caps off. It's like, yeah, it's cool. Like, it ended the whole, like, Andy arc. I mean, Pixar make good movies.
Yeah.
So
it'll no doubt be a tearjerker.
Yeah. But hopefully they kind of go somewhere new with it. And don't just rehash an old story.
Because that'd work for us, but it's not really adding anything to the greater cinematic experience.
Yeah, you're just going to be... I know people already think that Toy Story 2 and 3 are very similar. And they don't it doesn't cover much new ground in 3. Plot-wise, it does. It progresses plot, but it doesn't really take you into any new particular place.
Yeah. Just more playing in the space, really.
Pretty much, yeah. So we'll see.
Although, just to cap it off, the best version of Toy Story 3 is the version that one kid made where he chopped it off at the part where they're dropping into the garbage incinerator and jumped ahead to the credits to, like, freak out his mum.
That's pretty funny.
So it's just like, they're holding hands, sinking into the incinerator, fade to black, and then credits come up. And she's just like, what? What? Also, that's like 2/3 of the way through the movie, I think, if that. So it was a very short film at that point as well. But yeah, that's the best version of Toy Story 3. The other trailer that came out, Pokemon Detective Pikachu, which is the thing I forgot was happening. It's a live-action Pokemon film with a talking Pikachu played by, no, not Danny DeVito, unfortunately, Ryan Reynolds.
So I watched this trailer.
Yes.
And again, I'm not really sure it's a movie anyone really, like, asked for. But this movie is going to be the movie that everyone fucking loves for the end of eternity. Like, it just will.
It's a unique one, that's for sure.
It's interesting because it's a Pokemon bit of media that isn't just bullshit, like, cookie cutter, same formula over and over again. This actually looks like a different Pokemon movie.
Yeah.
Like, different Pokemon, like, experience to everything else we've had so far.
And I mean, I guess Detective Pikachu was the first game in the entire sort of Pokemon franchise to ever have like a proper narrative. I mean, yes, all the Pokemon games have a storyline, but it's basically just conveyance from gym to gym. Whereas,
and like Detective with Pikachu an overarching, like, the bad guys are gonna take over the world and destroy it,
and you 10-year-old Jimbo have to stop them.
Yeah.
So this one had a narrative, like tracking down his dad and solving all these crimes all related to Pokemon. So it actually has narrative threads they can use for it. But yeah, also Pikachu looks weird.
I mean, they all look weird because they're bringing him into the real world.
And but in a way that's...
to them and...
Yeah, the attention to like zoological detail, I don't know if I like it. I would be happy with a shorter haired Pikachu. There was a Super Bowl ad they did in, like, the mid-2000s which was Pokemon in the real world, and they still, like, 3D rendered them, but made it slightly closer to the cartoon origins, so Pikachu's basically flat lines, but a bit fuzzy around the edges. Whereas this is just, like, he looks like he's constantly being electrocuted by himself.
Well, his hair standing out. I heard or read a thing, I don't know if it's true or not, but apparently a dude who kind of made a name for himself on the net doing real-world Pokemon got hired to do some work on this film.
Yeah, yeah, he did sort of, like, realisticified renditions of Pokemon, and, like, yeah, that's what got him work.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like, the film looks real interesting. I'm definitely going to see it opening night, probably gold class, but I don't know how I feel about it yet.
This is kind of my main... The issue I had when I watched the trailer is that it seemed to set up, like, this super sassy, like, I basically just wanted to hear Deadpool. When I hear Ryan Reynolds, I want to hear, like, Peek-a-Pool.
Okay.
But it's just, with Ryan Reynolds' voice, like, I keep expecting him to make, like, a dirty joke or, like, a really fucked up joke. And it never came on. I was just like, it seemed like on the edge.
It's the same delivery though, yeah.
Yeah, every time there's going to, like, you know, the Pikachu gets a chance to speak. Like, you know, when they did in the trailer, the, like, oh, can you understand him? And then they're like, he's like, Pika Pika. And then, yeah, the people are like, oh, he's so cute, like, Pika Pika. I just expected, like, a really, like, Deadpool-esque comment with that voice, like, the Ryan Reynolds voice. And it didn't come on. I hope when I watch the movie, because let's face it, we're all going to watch this movie.
Yeah,
we want to or not. I just hope I don't come into the movie just thinking, like, I really wish for a Ryan Reynolds, like, Deadpool cut, where, like, he just does all his lines, but with, like, filthy jokes and shit, like, completely private thing, like a fan cut. I reckon that'd be amazing.
So they did an official PG cut for Deadpool 2, and now you want them to do an official or unofficial R-rated cut of Detective Pikachu.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Would you not watch that?
I would. I'd also watch it even more if Pikachu had been voiced by Danny DeVito, as everybody wanted. Because the original Japanese voice actor for the game had, yeah, kind of like a deep, gruff voice, which was part of the joke. It's like everyone else hears him as Pika Pika, and he's like, whoosh,
whoosh, whoosh. Yeah, it's like he's super adorable and, like, yay, like, cute and stuff. And it's just like, that's not, it's a surly old man.
Yeah, like hearing Danny DeVito go, come on, would have been fantastic. But we can't have everything we want. And I have seen at least one news story talking about someone made a fan cut of the trailer where they replaced all of Ryan Reynolds' lines with, I guess, Danny DeVito pulls from Always Sunny and other stuff. So I will have to track that down and actually watch it, because it sounds like my dream come true. Also in movie news, the reviews are out for Fantastic Beasts, Crimes of Grindelwald, and apparently it's bad.
Well, I saw a thing that said apparently it's good. So,
I saw that, like, generally speaking, it's not getting great results. Also, they break continuity in a pretty bad way. Like,
I guess it depends on what you consider continuity. This is the problem with, like, epic sagas and that sort of shit, is what do you consider continuity or not? And what do you consider breaking continuity as opposed to just adding extra details within continuity?
It definitely breaks continuity. I won't spoil it for anyone listening or for yourself, but it's and sort of an endgame reveal at the end of the movie that doesn't chronologically work in terms of the greater Harry Potter storyline, even with J.K. Rowling messing with it constantly. It just, it's not possible that it works. They've just chucked it in for the wow factor.
Right. Well, I mean, like, let's face it. Like, Harry Potter canon is Harry Potter books. Anything outside of that is just complete, like, blah on top of it.
Including J.K. Rowling's Twitter feed.
Yeah, but even then, like, a lot of it's just, like, little details here and there that was just like, oh, yeah, if you added all that shit in, the books would be a million pages long. And some of it's just like, oh, yeah, that'd be nice to, like, you know, in, you know, your head canon, that's nice to add. But let's face it, the only proper canon is the seven-book series.
Yeah. I mean, in concept, I have nothing against sort of introducing new content to your universe after the fact in other media or Pottermore or whatever else. But it's the fact that they just seem so lazy. It's just like, oh yeah, and this was a thing. Like, Dumbledore being gay is the earliest example of it. It's just like, oh yeah, never made reference to it, but totally.
I was just assuming he's asexual. Because there's never any romantic interest at any point, except for like a bit of a, like a hinting of like a bromance with Grindelwald.
Yeah. So there's lots of memes about J.K. Rowling's kind of tweet design process being like, so here's a fun fact. Harry's broom was Rolls Dice. Pansexual, aromantic, and Rolls Dice, dyslexic. And it's just like, yeah, cool. That thing.
And people get angry at her about that when she does all that sort of stuff. I mean, it's her thing. She has every just as much right to add stuff to it as you have to ignore what she adds.
Yes.
So take what you want out of it. The books are gospel. Everything outside of that, put in there what you want. But not the cursed child, because I've read the plot for that. Because let's face it, I'm never gonna like see it. And that's a steaming pile, that. But she didn't write it. She just like helped with the plot outline, some bullshit.
Oh yeah, she was like a contributor or something like
Yeah.
that. I bought the script book and read like half of it and never finished it. I kind of want to
Don't
get
buy
tickets to see the stage show.
screenplay books or script books. That's bullshit. Don't
It
support
was
that
new
habit.
Harry Potter content that I wanted to view. And at that point, there was no sign it was ever going to be sort of performed in Australia. Of course, now it is, and I can't afford tickets. But whatever. I paid for a Kindle book.
So, split the
Move.
difference on that. Could be good. I quite
Could be
enjoyed the
good.
first one. People said it was shit because they're like, oh, this isn't Harry Potter. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly right.
That's
Harry
the
Potter is
point.
nowhere near that
It's
movie.
Harry Potter universe.
Yeah.
And what else have we got? Yeah, the other big one isn't
Oh,
great
no. Before
news.
we get to that, there is some great news. Game of Thrones is coming out in April.
Oh yeah, I saw that. It has a date. That's nice.
Does Stranger Things have a date yet, either?
I don't think so.
Fucking give us that show.
So is this the final season of Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Not like final season part one.
Nah, 6 episodes.
Okay.
That's it.
Oh, and that's right, they were going to be
Done.
super long or something.
Yeah, like normal to movie length episode. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, April, come at me. See how that story ends. Because I'm never going to finish the books.
Well, I mean, he has to finish the books before we can finish the books.
Even the books that exist, I'm never going to finish.
They're pretty intense.
Yeah,
They're
I just
worth
get
it.
tired.
They're intense, yeah.
Every chapter isn't about Arya, and that's a serious problem. So yeah, that's coming out. Also come out recently is the news that Stan Lee died.
Yeah, it's pretty. I mean, it's unfortunate, but of course, Stanley was like, he was 95 years old. He was an old
Yeah,
man.
he
And
was getting up there.
yeah, and after his wife passed, I kind of expected him to pass very quickly
It's
afterwards.
yeah, it's the traditional thing, I guess.
Yeah. But I mean, he was working and doing appearances and stuff like this year. So he had a great run. And, yeah, without Stan, we wouldn't be here doing this kind of podcast because there wouldn't be the
We
nerd
really wouldn't.
culture that exists now, would not exist in any way. He literally created, like,
Modern comics.
massive chunks of it.
Yeah, it's sad news. It's nice to see lots of posts out there kind of recognizing all these personal experiences with him and kind of what he was like as a person. Also, some acknowledging that not everything he did was awesome.
But he was 95 years old, so he was literally a product of different times, multiple different times. And so he did a bunch of good stuff, but when you grow up in a certain period and you're like brought up to believe that certain things are just normal, like that you can't really blame a person for that.
Yeah, I think, pardon me, the thing I appreciated about it is that everyone's saying nice things about this person who's passed, recognizing the things he's done that were wrong a lot. But at no point was it like, nice thing, oh no, nothing he did was worthwhile because of bad. It's kind of been like, let's recognize he was a person of strengths and weaknesses. And what he contributed and all this kind of stuff. So I'm like, yeah, no, that's a good way of addressing
Yeah,
it.
no one's squeaky clean. No one's a perfect being. They don't exist. And especially, yeah, like older generations, like I don't blame anyone for like being a product of their like environment and time, because that's literally like how society works. You are a product of your time. And it takes like, you know, groundbreakers to break through that. And not everyone's a groundbreaker, so don't blame them for that.
Yeah, but Product of the Times is an excuse for it, but it's an acknowledgement of why.
I wouldn't say it's an excuse. I would say it's when you are in a certain time, you are a product of that time. So whatever society is at that time, that's how you kind of are. That's how you kind of forged. And some people like have difficulty then moving and changing with that, which is,
yeah, you know, if you can adapt and move forward, then it's like, that's respectable.
Hmm.
It's the holdouts that are problematic. And it sounds like Stan was not one of those.
No. So, and like, with, you know, there's, again, even the people in history that we hold up as like heroes for doing certain things, you know, they still aren't squeaky clean. But again, I'm not going to blame them for that because no one's perfect and you can't really, you can't just saying that they're a product of the time is people use as a dismissive statement, which is wrong to dismiss it. But it is an important thing to say, like, you know, if you were brought up in certain times where things were considered normal, how are you supposed to know that it's any different, basically?
Yeah, it's a thing to acknowledge, not a thing to excuse.
Exactly. So,
But overall, Stan Lee did a lot of good things for the things we love, and it's sad that he's gone. But his memory's not going anywhere anytime soon.
No, apparently he had filmed his cameo for Captain Marvel and Avengers 4.
Oh, good.
So we will see a bit more of Stan. And it's kind of kind of good that he got the Avengers 4 one done, because that is, you can say that's kind of the end.
Yeah, of like it's
an era. Yeah.
Bookending the entire phase.
Basically, yeah.
So yeah, that's an unfortunate thing, but yes, he was getting on. I don't really have anything else to talk about, so that was kind of a low note to end on. I guess the one other little piece of news was that Studio Mir, the guys who made Avatar Legend of Korra, have just kind of revealed a new original series they're making about a magic boy, and it looks adorable, and I look forward to it because I like their animation style. Yeah. I can't remember what it's called, and I am unable to locate the page that was telling me about it. Because it seems that Polygon.com is down, which is weird. Yeah. So, thank you for tuning in to this episode of The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors. We like having you here.
If you like our opening and closing music, it is, as it always has been, Fuck Sidechain Compression on Game Boy by Rocco W. And you can find it on Bandcamp and, you know, various other places where music is uploaded by creators. SoundCloud and all that sort of stuff.
Yes. If you'd like to find us, because we are also creators, but our content is not as good as people who can make music from their brains. Words are a kind of music, but not a good kind. Anyway, you can find us at indoorsmanpodcast.com, The Indoorsman on Facebook, and at indoorsmanpod for Twitter and Instagram. So go check those out.
If you'd like to get in contact with us, you can do it via Twitter at Cliff and Monkey for myself, or at Ponk for Matt. Or if you prefer email, you can get to us via contact@indoorsmanpodcast.com.
Yeah. We'd also love it if, as always, you could subscribe, review, rate the show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, wherever you might find us. And also let us know where you can find us, because some of them happen automatically and others I do not know what you need to do. So if there's a place you would like to view us for your convenience, tell us. Thanks.
And we will try and get our stuff on that stuff for your stuff.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know how you get on Spotify, but there's podcasts there.
I mean,
what kind of playlist would we turn up in?
Yeah. What sort of ads would be between podcasts too? Do they even still do the free version of Spotify? My memory of Spotify is just music, music, music. Ad that's 10 times louder. Music, music, music.
Would you say that your memory of Spotify is spotty?
No. I cannot allow that.
For now, I've been Matt.
And I've been Cliff.
And by Indoorsman tradition, we'll send you off, as always, by saying, I'ma go dash around and eat some sheep.
I am going to eat hamburgers and play cowboy games.
Mm.
Just to change it up.
Yeah. Also, Sparks the Dragonfly looks creepy as fuck in HD.
I remember, I've seen him, but I can't remember. I can't. An image doesn't form in my mind of it.
Good, you are safe from the curse. I envy you.
In, as an overall, this beer was pretty good.
Yeah.
I drank the whole 700 mils that's in this deceptively large bottle, because it's it looks quite small, but, yeah. How's the goods? Scum style.
That's not a flavour of beer I want to drink.
No, it was good.